Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This meeting is being recorded.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it online. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we repping for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 Podcast. Today, I'm kind of flying solo, sort of. Lofa will be here later in the episode because we have an exclusive chat. I don't know if it's exclusive, but it sounded professional. With Nick Ballore. And you know how this show is. I mean, so far we're batting 1,000 with guests who score touchdowns, so we'll see what happens with Nick for this weekend. Also, a chat with William McFadden from the Believe in Falcons podcast on the Believe NFL Network. So we'll get his take on what the Falcons have been up to so far this season and how they look going into this game this weekend with our Seahawks. But before we get into all that, a quick word from our brand new sponsor, Fit My Foot. Fit My Foot has revolutionized the footwear industry. These are insoles, guys. They are custom insoles. What you do is you download the Fit My Foot app. You use your cell phone to scan your foot with your phone's camera, and then you send it in to the Fit My Foot folks, and they send you back a custom insole that will take away your foot pain, your back pain, some leg pain. 99% of their customers reported increased comfort, 82% reported less foot fatigue, and 80% of people reported feeling less pain by using these custom insoles from Fit My Foot. Their insoles have a long-lasting premium footbed, shock-absorbing heel cushion, and 3D-printed custom arch support. Our guy Lofa Tatupu uses Fit My Foot, and you guys can too. Also, usual insoles that you get from a podiatrist, it can take forever for them to come in. Fit My Foot insoles come in 14 days, and Take 12 listeners can use our promo code LOFA20, that's LOFA20, to get 20% off right now. So check out Fit My Foot on your app stores, download the app, start taking pictures of your feet, but not in a weird way. Do it for the Fit My Foot insoles, everybody, and we thank them for sponsoring the show. Also, a shout out to our sponsor, EpicSeats.com. The EpicSeats.com ticket giveaway is going on right now. Lofa put up the video of himself saying the movie quote. If you guess the movie quote, we put you into the hat, and we'll pull out a name to win two tickets to the Seahawks versus the Falcons this weekend, courtesy of our friends at EpicSeats.com. epicseats.com. We appreciate their support. Mention Take 12 when you're buying or selling at epicseats.com to either get $12 extra per ticket when you're selling. If you are selling your Seahawks tickets this season for any reason, if you're a season ticket holder who can't make it to the game and you don't sell your tickets with epicseats.com by using the Take 12 extra $12 per ticket, what are you doing? You're just leaving money on the table. Sell your tickets with epicseats.com. And then if you're buying tickets, go to epicseats.com also. As I mentioned, I chatted with William McFadden from the Believe in Falcons podcast all about the upcoming matchup and the game this weekend. I'd like to play that conversation for you now. And then after that, Lofa and I got a chance to chat with Seahawks captain Nick Ballore, and I'll play you that conversation. So up first, it's William McFadden from the Believe in Falcons podcast on Take 12. Joining us on the betonline.ag hotline, William from the Believe in Falcons podcast. William, the Falcons don't scare us, but I don't think the Seahawks scare you. And these two teams seem pretty mediocre so far. What are we looking at going into this game?
Well, it's a great way to frame it.
you like off, that?
I think that one of the things that was so not shocking, but just like, I guess, just such a blow to the gut, seeing the Falcons schedule, because we didn't have the highest expectations for them. And then their first seven games, honestly, up until a Thursday night matchup with Carolina, really tough. And yeah, that changed a little bit with the Deshaun Watson suspension because they got the Browns after the Seahawks. But even looking at it, it was honestly New Orleans at home week one and Seattle on the road week three were kind of the two wins that you could maybe see the Falcons getting in their first seven games. I actually feel much better about that prediction now heading into week three than I did at the time because, you know, I haven't seen much to like, and we'll get into this, from Seattle so far. Where I have seen a good bit to like for Atlanta, even though they are 0-2, they've been a little bit feistier in these games than I expected.
Look, Seahawks, huge emotional game week one, Russ's return. They clearly got up for it. They ended up getting that one by one, but then we saw what happened last week against the Niners, and all of us here in Seahawkland are obviously hoping that the Seahawks can play better. But, I mean, like I said, you know, you guys don't really make us nervous. We don't really make you nervous. I mean, but if there is one thing when you look at the Seahawks, is there a playmaker you're looking at that you know, does make you nervous at all? Are you guys nervous even just a little bit?
That's so funny because I have the same question written down for a Seattle standpoint. But yeah. No, I mean, I think that I don't know defensively if there are too many guys that really truly scare me. You know, I'm trying to look at my notes here. I think that Nwosu has had like a good start for you guys.
Yeah, and great season so far, off to a good start.
Maybe there's a chance that happens, but Marcus Mariota's been really good back there and at escaping pressure. And then offensively, maybe Rashad Penny the receivers are still clearly scary, right? DK Metcalf, that one-handed catch that got called back last week. I stood up out of my couch.
Yeah.
I stood up off of my couch, maybe.
You can stand up on your couch like Tom Cruise. I'm in love with DK.
I got up like DK did on that catch.
Yeah, you did.
And it sucked to see it get called back, but those guys are still there. I just have big questions about Geno Smith. And so offensively, not really. And defensively, you know, Quandre Diggs, maybe, but I just think that the defense is more the sum of the parts, and I don't know if I'm scared of that yet.
Right, yeah, totally. And I mean, I think for us too, you know, looking at your guys' last game, you know, Mariota, 17 of 26 for 196, two touchdowns, two interceptions. I mean, we're giving up a lot of yards this season so far. And Mariota, you know, local kid from the PNW, so returning up there, he'll probably have a lot of fans in the stands, a lot of friends and family there, stuff like that. So you know he's going to be motivated. So he scares me a little bit. And then, of course, London, I mean, you know, he can take the top off and score a bunch of points. So, I mean, you're not really nervous about our defense, and I'm nervous about our defense. You see what I mean? And those are the kinds of things that I think scare me about you guys. One thing that doesn't really have me scared, and I want to know from you what's going on here, against the Rams, which was your guys' last game, you guys lost 27-31. Believe me, all of us in Seattle were pulling for you guys in that game, but you guys came up just short. But the rushing stats, Cordarrelle Patterson was your leading rusher with 10 carries for 41 yards. I mean, it's a 4.1 yard average, but
yeah, I mean, that's part of it has to do with just the way the game unfolded. In week one, he had a career high 22 carries for 120 yards.
I didn't realize he's like the Deebo Samuel of the NFC South. I just didn't even understand that. That shows you.
Yeah, no, I mean, Deebo Samuel is the exact correct way to think about Cordarrelle Patterson. And it's he on the one hand, like he runs like a kick returner. He's just shot out of a can and runs downhill from the second that he gets the ball, which it's a lot of fun to watch when he gets going like that. But on the other hand, he's a very effective receiver. Last season, Matt Ryan, it was kind of his go-to guy, even down the sidelines and kind of some of these hole shots against cover three looks, things like that. So he is a huge X factor for this Falcons team, but they want to run the ball. Last week just got a little bit out of hand with them, with the Rams kind of getting such a big lead. And frankly, the Rams defensive front, Greg Gaines was insane in that game. He single-handedly wrecked several kind of short yardage plays where the Falcons were looking to really move the ball. I expect them to have better success running the ball this week. I don't think the game is going to get really out of hand, maybe in either direction. So it should be, there should be a lot of opportunities for them to run the ball. But I want to ask you, so Seattle's run game under Pete Carroll has usually been the bread and butter, but I read an interview this morning where it looks like he now wants to let Geno cook. Is that kind of what the word is around the street? And how do you feel about that?
This offense for the last few years has just been very confusing, I think, for a lot of people, because like, and you just said it there, and Lofa and I talk about on our show how the national media or people more with a national perspective have this assumption that a Pete Carroll team wants to just run the ball. We ran the ball great with Marshawn. I mean, we know Pete wants to run the ball, but then without Marshawn, sometimes they don't really run it, which leaves us all scratching our heads. I don't really even know if us as Seahawks fans or the Seahawks really even know what kind of an offense they run. Shane Waldron's been there now. This is his second full season or third. He was Russ's guy. That's what we all heard when he came in. It was like kind of the guy that Russ wanted. Well, Russ isn't there anymore. Russ was kind of cooking while he was there, but then P said he wanted to run, so then we ran more, so now Russ is gone, but Russ's guy is still there. We're not really running the ball very much when we think we should be running the ball. I mean, Rashad Penny's in a contract year, right? They brought him back for the 1 year, and they don't even give him 20 carries a game. Run him. What's the pitch count for? Let's get him in there. Let's see what he can do and see if we want to sign him to a long-term thing. And for him, he's got to be frustrated because this is his 1 year to show it, and there's really nothing to show so far. Travis Homer, our third down back, I think played more snaps last week than any other running back in that room for us, which that doesn't make sense to us when we look at our rushing stat line. So I think for the Seahawks, we got to kind of figure out who we are on offense. You know, we're not getting first downs, and our defense is out there a long time, and that is what really hurt us last season, and it's what hurt us last game. And against you guys, if our defense is out there the whole time with Mariota sending guys deep, you know, I mean, Kyle Pitts, I mean, talk about a talented tight end that hasn't even really been utilized so far this year for you guys. Could be a long day for us, man. But much like you, I think these teams are pretty evenly matched a little bit, and so I'm hoping this is going to be at least an entertaining game.
I think it will be entertaining. You know, it's really interesting that you mentioned the offense kind of being unable to sustain drives, because that's something that I think the Falcons have done really well, but it's what I think can be their Achilles heel, because I don't know if they're talented enough yet or consistently talented enough to overcome setbacks on drives, you know, and that could be a false start penalty. That could be a hold. That could be a first down run that gets stopped for a 2 yard loss. You know, I don't know if they're able to consistently win on second and long or third and long. But they look beautiful on offense when they kind of are in rhythm, when it is second and three or, you know, third and one. They've been a little iffy this year, but you kind of get my point. In doing the research and looking at the numbers, you know, Geno Smith has the highest completion percentage among all quarterbacks in the league, but he's got a 32nd in average depth of target in the air. Is that kind of what you're getting at? There's just, there's no explosive plays and they can't really maintain anything on offense. So it's three and out, six and out, you know, just that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're just dumping it off short. And the first game to DK, even, they didn't go down the field at all. And then, as you mentioned, they go down the field in week two, but it gets called back. Yeah. So, yeah, they're just not pushing the ball down the field. And even in the intermediate and, like, mid-level stuff, they're not really hitting a lot of those, like, seam routes and you know, things that you usually see over the middle. I think both of us are kind of looking at this game the same way, right? Like, we're not really sure of what we got, but a lot is going to be determined from this game, and I think we're both equally hoping it goes well for each of our teams. I want to ask you about the NFC South, though, yeah. Right? Because you got Tom Brady down there. I mean, they're clearly the front runners in that division. And, I mean, speaking of them, how about, well, actually, we want to talk about the fight real quick? You want to talk about the suspension? You want to talk about Mike Evans protecting TB?
I mean, talk about somebody who I do have on my fantasy team and who I have Trey Lance and Mike Evans, and they just because those guys didn't play the entire game. But yeah, I mean, Mike Evans being out, it's going to be interesting. I think I love the rivalries in the NFC South. Yeah. I mean, I think so many Falcons fans were very excited to see Marshawn Lattimore just absolutely get trucked. yeah, he's especially since AJ Terrell is here, because Falcons and Saints fans obviously our biggest rival, one of the best rivals, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah.
But there was always that weird kind of bragging rights thing where when we had Julio and then they got Michael Thomas, they just would not shut up about Michael Thomas. And we're like, yeah, but like, look at all the great things that Julio does. And your guy runs pretty slant routes, but like, it's whatever. And then Marshawn Lattimore, they were like, all right, well, we've got the top corner, you guys. And then we got AJ Terrell. And so it's kind of like this weird back and forth thing. But to see Marshawn Lattimore kind of get that from Mike Evans, we're, I think, pretty collectively on Mike Evans' side in that case, which I never thought, you know, I would take part in defending Tom Brady, but here we are.
Right, yeah, or Mike Evans for that matter. So where do you think the Falcons ultimately end up then in this division?
Well, based on, I think they're a better team than the Panthers. There's a chance that it comes kind of neck and neck with New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a long way to go there, but the Falcons and the Saints feel like the two teams where there's maybe the most variability in how their seasons can play out in this division, which again, I did not necessarily think that was the case 2 weeks ago. So I reserved the right to default back to my original take this year, which was kind of like, this is a 6-win team. I don't think they're very good, but I think they're going to be kind of professional enough and just have a baseline floor of competency that is going to win them some games, because the league is a close league and usually it comes down to, you know, situational football. But if I had to guess right now, I'd say third. But if they finish second, I would not be shocked.
Just don't put that on a t-shirt, though. You know, you don't want to see a t-shirt that says Atlanta Falcons, base level of competency.
No more t-shirts. Dan Quinn took all the t-shirts with him when he went to Dallas. So
base level of competency.
Although that's a good one.
give me a prediction for the game. How do you think this thing shakes out? Actually, we do this because on our show, the Score Prediction Challenge is brought to you by our friends at Simply Seattle. Go to shop.simplyseattle.com. Use promo code TAKE12, the name of our show, to take 12% off of anything on their website. And also, if you enter our Score Prediction Challenge on our social media, which is at TAKE12POD on all social medias, and you nail the score prediction, you get a gift card from them. I think it's worth $50. So go on over and enter the score prediction challenge on our social media. But William, what's your official prediction for this game?
Ooh, so as much as we talked about the Falcons and the Seahawks kind of being in the same boat, I think this is going to be a big one for Atlanta. I think they're going to kind of really get on the right track. I'm going to say 32, which is not a score you hear a lot, 13
for
the Falcons.
Oh, no. Did you hear that, Seahawk fans? Oh, man. Well, listen, William, I like you, but I hope you're wrong.
I mean, I understand that. But Brett, I gotta know what is your prediction?
Well, look, the Seahawks this year, like we said, we don't know what we're going to get. It's going to be ugly. They've all been ugly. And if we're going to win it, it's going to be an ugly win. So I'm going to go low scoring. I think, again, we're 16, 17, 18 points. Let's make it weird. Give me 18 points. And then give me the Falcons 15 for the
game.
We're
going to get scoregami in this game.
Ugly, strange scoring, low scoring, and I think we just eke one out. And mostly just because we're at home. We like to play well at home, home cooking, all that kind of stuff. Thanks for taking the time, William. We really appreciate it. Before you get out of here, tell everyone where they can find you and the Believe in Falcons podcast.
Yeah. Well, Believe in Falcons, good news there. It's probably wherever you're listening to this podcast is where you can find our podcast with my co-host, Ovi Mahaley, a former fullback in this league and all pro. So he has great insight. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Will McFadden. Simple enough. And all of my written work can be found at thefalcoholic.com.
Thanks for the chat.
Yeah, no problem, Brett.
Good to catch up with William from Believe in Falcons. You guys can find their podcast. It's Believe in Falcons, spelled our way, B-L-E-A-V in Falcons. Good insight from him there. Up next, I want to play this conversation that Lofa and I had with Nick Ballore. But before I do, this is that part in the show where we play a commercial from ButcherBox. Shout out to ButcherBox. We appreciate them for their support. And we appreciate you guys going out there and checking out these sponsors. That's why they come to us, because you guys go to them and the world goes round. All right, it's time for our conversation with Seahawks captain Nick Ballore, linebacker, fullback, jack of all trades on the team, and a hell of a guy. Turn it up, enjoy the chat, and I'll be back afterwards to wrap up the show.
What's up, fellas?
There he is.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for doing this, man. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. It's I've been watching and I'm glad to finally get on.
We should just tell Nick right off the bat, right? We're so far, we're 2 for 2 in terms of active Seahawks and touchdowns scored in games. We had Uncle Will on, and then inadvertently Colby was on that same interview, and they both scored week one. So, Nick, are you ready to score a touchdown this week?
Yeah, why is this the first time I'm hearing about this? I mean, it'd be a goddamn miracle if I score, but I don't want to break the curse, but, you know.
It's a fairly new trend, and all right. Colby draft off the success of Disley in that episode.
Of course, as he does, yeah. No, I think I could – we'll make it 3-0. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's
at least a big hit, fumble.
Yeah, yeah. Same shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, I'm sure you guys are ready to get the Niners game in the rear view and look forward to the Falcons here. How's the vibe in the building, and how are you guys getting ready?
Yeah, obviously that was a rough one to pretty much in all phases. And, you know, you always talk about it, but you really do just have to move on because it's such a long season. And, you know, we're going to see those guys again. And, you know, there's quite literally the team's ready for us this week. I think when we landed back in Seattle, the Falcons were landing as well. They're staying here for the week. So,
oh, wow.
You know, we literally saw them when we were flying in. So it's, you know, that's the reality of the league is, you know, you have to turn around and get right back to it. And, you know, guys were in there yesterday and today, and, you know, we have to kind of turn the page on that, the shit that happened in San Francisco and move on.
Did you guys have the pilot slow down as your plane was passing their plane so you could all stare out the window or anything like that?
Yeah, yeah, we buzzed them. So, yeah, we went right over top of them. And, nice. You know, they had to kind of circle a while till we landed, I think.
Yeah, totally, totally. Lofa, what do you got for our man here?
Well, you know, as a captain, you know, and I was a former captain way back in the days when you were a young pup. But I kind of want to know who's taking over the role of, you know, with Bobby and Russ. I know when I was coaching them, you know, they're up and down the sideline making sure the guys stayed in the game. We're just telling them, hey, relax, play our game, and, you know, we'll be fine. Is there anybody, you know, doing that right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of obviously it's a different team now. And I think, you know, guys that have always had that kind of personality, it's really come to the forefront now that, you know, you got guys like Bobby and Russ gone. You know, I think Quandre does a great job for the back end guys, kind of keeping everyone together. And Big Al Woods up front. And Jordan Brooks has done a great job. He's, you know, I mean, Bobby he's not the loudest guy ever. He's relatively quiet until he spoke up. And Jordan's kind of in the same mold. And I think it's been fun to watch him, like, as a young guy, really kind of step into that role. And, you know, I think he's done a great job. I think a cool thing about this team is, and I think, you know, as you get older in the NFL, you realize, like, there's only so much someone can say that'll get you, you know, ready to roll. Mm-hmm. I think we have a good, you know, workmanlike attitude on the team. And I think we have a lot of young guys that are hungry and kind of they get it, which usually it takes more time than I think I've seen for guys to understand kind of how it works in the NFL versus college or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like how things are on our team in terms of, like, we know what we have to do. We know what we didn't do correctly. And it's kind of, you know, we're able as a team to come together. And I think it's been good so far. We just kind of kind of keep building on it.
Yeah. How about Big Al Woods? Man, just destroying the run game sometimes. I mean, he's just in the backfield, right, Lofa? I mean, even this last game, just a couple plays, he just blew up.
At the young, spry age of 34, too. Yeah. I mean, I think he's 12-year vet, just like my man Nick here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible. And, yeah, man, the way he looked, how explosive and everything, he looked more like 24. Mm-hmm. And so very, you know, pleased to see. He's always showing up, though.
Yeah.
He's a wild guy to see in person, too. People don't understand how big he is. You just shake hands with him, his hands are like three times the size of mine. And then I think they have this new thing where they'll send you pictures from the games like that you're in. And it was pretty fucking embarrassing. It was like that coin toss, and I'm walking out there with him, and I look like a little kid compared. I mean, it's crazy. So I was like, you know, the guys always post that shit. And I looked at it, I'm like, I'm not posting that. I could like cut, maybe crop him out of it to, but I don't want that issue either. So it's,
I don't feel too bad though, because I did a softball game with DK and Cam Chancellor, and this is a receiver and a, you know, a safety, right? And I looked like a garden gnome next to these two. So yeah. And I told the dude, I go, hey, don't fucking post that. First picture they tagged me in was that one. I was like, awesome.
I know, it's fucking awful. You gotta be careful who you stand next to. Even like Tariq, the rookie corner, yeah. You stand up next to him and you're like, what the fuck are they giving these kids these days? It's crazy.
And well, he can fly.
That's
what I was going to say next is, can we talk about the young talent on this team? I mean, you're the old grizzled vet around there, Nick, but some of these young guys coming in, I mean, just.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to see. And I think the biggest thing is, you know, you have the physical talent you see, obviously, but like they're all great dudes. And I don't say that too often because I mean, I've said it before, but I usually just despise young guys just because I'm older and I don't understand.
They don't get the references really, and stuff really like that.
They think I'm a narc or something. I don't know, but it's fun to see, you know, Tariq is like one of the greatest dudes, like, and he's just an absolute freak show. Mm. And, you know, you have like Kobe Bryant that we signed. He's going to be a great player for us. And, you know, I think, you know, those guys on the back end, I mean, we have like four or five safeties that can all be great starters in this league that kind of almost get rotated. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you see the younger guys and you think to yourself, like, I got to hold off some of my tips and tricks so I can actually play for a couple more years, because it's like, if these guys ever fully figure it out, I will be fucking homeless. So,
well, that's where I was going with you next. I mean, let's talk about this like journey of Nick Ballores to the NFL from Central Michigan, right, Lofa? I mean, you saw his tape early.
And I shared this story with Nick when I was getting released. You know, Kenny Norton, he was a coach that cared for me. And he was like, hey, when you're done, what are you going to do? And he's like, I can see you as a coach or a scout. And so he gave me a pile, just a ton of guys. And I was looking at them and I was like, okay, yeah, there's some ball players in there. And then I went to the film guy and I was like, yo, give me the rest. Give me all eligible linebackers from this class.
Wow.
And 43, were you?
Or yeah.
Number 43 from Central Michigan was just kicking the ever living shit out of everybody every game. And I was like, this is too good to be true. And so I was like, yo, I'm thinking he's going to go mid rounds. And they were like, oh, he's not even on our board. I was like, we should be. And then, so before we get into asking about your journey to the NFL, can you tell me who was the savage that was recruiting? Because you, JJ Watt, and Antonio Brown were all in the same. That's the greatest recruiting class. Look, I was part of a lot of them at SC. But
yeah, that's, I mean, talent.
Can you just tell me who was that put that master plan
together?
Well,
to address the first part, Lofa's just talking. He's just making this up so I'd get on the podcast. But I already did, I already said I would get on it. He doesn't have to compliment my college play that much. But I will say that I tell guys that all the time. They never believe it. But I'm like, I honestly think my freshman class at Central is one of the best ever in terms of, I mean, I'm in that group of nobody, but you forget about JJ Watt and Antonio being, they were arguably the best players on either side of the ball for a good couple year run. Absolutely. There at least.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know how we were able to get all of them. Butch Jones, who was with me got Antonio, I believe. I was recruited by Brian Kelly. Me and JJ were recruited by Brian Kelly. Wow. He left to go to Cincinnati right when I got there. And then Butch Jones came. But yeah, we had, I mean, and we had a really good run there. Before me, you had Joe Staley. You had a bunch of other guys. Dan Bazine was a second round draft pick. And then after me, you had Eric Fisher, who was number one overall. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, a bunch of guys that have played a number of years in the NFL. But I think the biggest thing is playing at a school like that, you know, we were, you know, a MAC school. And I think it kind of ultimately helped all of us because, you know, we all were like, you know, we wish we were higher recruited or whatever. But as you, and I'm sure Loaf has seen it, like the longer you play, you realize, you know, once you get to the NFL, nobody cares where you played college. And it's like, nobody cares what you did in college either. And I think sometimes guys at bigger schools or more heavily recruited guys kind of lose that edge. And I think, you know, kind of, I mean, I didn't think I was under recruited. I was just glad to get a scholarship. So, but it was one of those things where, you know, I was just happy to get a Division I scholarship. And then, you know, I just wanted to play. It was never like when I was in high school, it's like, I'm going to be in the NFL. You know, you kind of just think of it one step at a time, I guess.
I looked it up. I think you're still top 10. I think maybe you might be like third or fourth behind Luke Kuechly, who's a pretty prominent name.
Yeah.
So anytime you're in that company, it's good. But yeah, JJ, three-time defensive player of the year. First one to do it since, you know, Lawrence Taylor. Now Aaron Donald's joined him. So he was one of the most dominant for 10-year stretch. And then Antonio Brown, I just keep thinking about the records he would have broken had he had a couple more years, man. And so, and then you, undrafted. I don't even know what the percentage is or what the likelihood of a guy is making 12 years. And you still got plenty left in the tank, my man. So it's just kudos to you guys and whoever is bringing those savages in. And then I just wanted to ask real quick, like, what was it like? Because, dude, those Rex Ryan defenses were fucking amazing. And to go undrafted into a camp and come out with a job. I mean, what was that like, man?
It was awesome. And it was kind of weird because I came in the lockout year. So we had nothing. Oh, and shit. Then I came in like July 29th. It was funny, too, because you like all the vets, like I was all like anxious, ready to go. And all the vets were like, loved it. I'm sure like to the media, they're like, oh, this was awful. We didn't have an off season. But as I get older, I'm like, they must've absolutely loved that because they didn't do shit for the entire summer. But, I get there and I think, like the first day of camp, Dave Harris, who was the starting Mike linebacker, he wasn't holding out, but he hadn't signed his contract yet. So I was calling the defense like the first day.
Damn.
And I was like, I was nervous as shit because, you know, it's like Rex's thing or whatever. And, well, this is just kind of a funny story, but I've got the mic in my helmet and I hear someone there, the D coordinator, Mike Pettine, is like, go up to Rex and tell him to go fuck himself. I'm like about to call the play. And then he calls the play and he goes, I'm not going to ask you again. Go up to Rex and tell him to go fuck himself. And I'm like looking around to see who has the, I'm like, I'm thinking it's, you know, the DC. And I'm like looking around and I see Rex and I go up to him and say it to him. And he just stares at me. And I thought he was in on the joke, but I don't think he was. And then I go back to the huddle and he's like, who the fuck is this kid? But it was, so that's how I started. So that was a little off-putting, but
did you ever find out what that story was? Like, who put you up to it?
I mean,
what
it was just like,
yeah.
We do the same kind of shit here in Seattle, but it was like all those coaches were buddies and they were just fucking just messing with each other.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I just wasn't in on the joke. And I was just like the most square, like didn't want to mess up. And I was like,
just trying to do the best you can.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Should I not have done that? Yeah. Well, I mean, you probably got Bart Scott in your ear. And if not, he's probably the one on the microphone that played the joke on you.
You know, it probably was Bart now that I think about it, because it didn't really sound like Patton. So it probably was Bart, but
that's
so
funny.
I mean, that was one of those things where that's one of the, like my first year, that's some of the guys I play with. I can tell guys now and they know that I'm really old then. I'd be like, yeah, I played with LaDainian Tomlinson and Ed Reed and Mark Brunell. And they're like, what the fuck? They're like, how old are you? So,
those guys have gray hair in their beards. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a badge of honor, brother. Wear that proudly.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Nick, we could talk to you all day, but I got 10 random questions for you and about 1 minute on the clock. But of course, we'll probably go over that. You want to give it a shot?
Sure.
All right. Let me get my intense music going. There we go. All right. Question number one for Nick Ballor, who also, by the way, actually, shout out to you and your show, Between Two Ballors, everybody. You guys can find it on YouTube. It's hilarious. Nick has Seahawks on as guests, I mean, people on as guests. It's a bit of a la Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis, but it's Between Two Ballors with Nick, and it's, dude, it's hilarious. Cracks me up every time.
None of the young guys have ever seen the original, so they don't understand the concept.
Yeah, they don't get the references.
It makes it better.
Oh, that's funny. Nick, heads or tails?
Heads.
Why number 44?
I'm like one of those guys that literally does not care what number I wear at all. I'm ready to sell it. Anybody that wants it on the team, I will sell it to you.
Okay. If called upon, would you rather punt or punt return?
Punt.
Can you spin it?
Better than I can return it, for sure.
Okay. What's your go-to halftime snack?
I get the orange slices like I'm a fucking 5-year-old playing soccer.
We were talking to the interns before we had you on, and I was going over the questions, and I said the halftime snack one, and they were like, do they eat at halftime? And I was like, I'm pretty sure there's snacks in there.
Oh, yeah. They got tons of snacks.
Oh, yeah. All right. Do you know your Madden speed rating?
If I had to guess, it'd probably be in the 60s.
No, you're a 77.
Ooh, yeah. I'm lazy in the track.
Also, you're a 79 for jump. Do you have hops?
No, I don't know. They need to. You see all the guys always being like, they need to up my score. Yeah, they need to drop that down.
Maybe. Those are your actual ratings, too. Maybe. Yeah. Your favorite. No, let's see. Wait. Oh, here we go. If you weren't a football player, you'd be a.
Most people would say on the team, a financial planner. When I like slick my hair back, they ask me if I can help them with their portfolio.
Wolf of Wall Street. Okay, cool. Let's see. On a scale of 1 through 10, how cool are the Seahawks throwback uniforms, and how much do you want to wear those silver helmets?
10. We need to do it. I don't. The color rush jerseys make me look fat. We need the throwback jerseys.
What is your favorite Pete-ism?
He'll say something, and then he'll say, bullshit on that. And he's the only person I know that says that.
Yeah.
Most unique fan interaction?
I'm trying to think if there's been any.
Signs some foreheads. That was my most unique interaction.
I'm trying to think. I haven't been able to sign anything cool yet in my career. I'm waiting for that day. I'm trying to think of a weird interaction.
No,
I mean,
okay.
Like no one ever like knows who I am, except for when we started doing the Between Two Ballors. So I get a little FaceTime, and so that's like at the park. People are like, do you do that show? I'm like, yeah. It's never about football.
I also play for the Hawks. No big deal.
You guys listening out there?
And I've got my jersey on and everything. I don't know why they don't.
See, you guys listening out there need to provide Nick with some unique fan interactions the next time you run into him. Final question for you here, Nick. What's been your favorite play as a Seahawk?
Oof. I'm trying to think. I would say some of the plays against the Niners have been, those are always awesome. It was fun knocking the dude's helmet off last year
on a
punt. Mm-hmm. And then blocking for Adrian Peterson when he scored last year was awesome. I didn't know that it was like put him in like top 10 for rushing touchdowns. And that was pretty cool.
Oh, that is awesome. Back on. Yeah, that's cool. Nick, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate you being on the show. Yeah. And take the word back to the guys in the locker room. If they want to score touchdowns, they got to come on Take 12.
I will. I need to pass the word along to Shane that I need some plays at fullback so he can actually give this thing a shot.
Hey, man, goal line package. Come on, sneak you. You know, you get lost in the wash in there. You squirt out the other side. We'll find you in the corner. Come on now.
Exactly.
Or just bring one of your signature big hits. I love those.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. I'll do that for Lopa. That counts as good of a touchdown.
Absolutely. It gets the crowd going. Dude, I was talking about it for weeks after that San Fran game a year ago. I was like, did you guys see that fucking hit? Opened the show with that like three times.
Yeah.
We need it again.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for having me, guys. See you, Lopa.
Later, brother.
Well, there you go. That's the Take 12 podcast for this week. Come back next week. We'll let you know what we thought about the Falcons game, and then we'll look forward to the Lions. For Lofa and producer Katie and the missing link and all the interns, I'm Brett. Check out betonline.ag also. Shout out. Betonline.ag. Use promo code BELIEVE 50 for a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. We're out of time. I got to get out of here. See you next week. Enjoy the game. Oh, and look for the score prediction challenge, too. Gift cards from Simply Seattle. Too much stuff going on, Katie.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.